cause it's so beautiful.
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present the Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Most of you know the story of the fanatic who shot at Manet because he thought that this famous artist was destroying the true spirit of French painting. When Sir Graham Partridge was killed, it was for totally different reasons. Yet his murder created quite a sensation at the time. I have called it Death Before Exposure. It's impossible for any reasonably intelligent newspaper reader not to have heard of the various activities of Sir Graham whilst he was a director of the Austerlitz Museum. Consequently, when we were informed that his dead body was fished out of the river at Thames Sutton, it came as quite a shock.
What's that, Jackson? Sir Graham Partridge?
Ex-branch have just been on the line, sir.
Huh?
Local police surgeon says although death was by drowning, his lungs were full of water, there was a severe blow at the back of the head. Must have been rendered unconscious and then thrown in. Says Sir Graham must have been dead for at least 14 or 15 hours. And that's all we've got, sir.
Hi, Jackson. My compliments to Dr. McPherson. Ask him if he'll be kind enough to take a look at the body. See whether he agrees with the estimated time of death.
Right, sir.
Wonder why he didn't drown. If that had happened, his body wouldn't have emerged for some days.
I can tell you the reason for that, sir. There's a fast-flowing current all the way from Loxbridge to Sutton Weir.
You're right, and that's a distance of some 12 miles. It's more than likely Sir Graham was in the vicinity between those two points. See what you can find out.
Right, sir.
Hello.
Operations here, Inspector. Sir Graham Partridge.
Oh, yes, right. Go ahead.
A bachelor at Aylesbury and Balliol, became curator at the Wimburne Gallery.
Yeah, all that's unnecessary, thank you. Other than he's a bachelor, where he's living and who's his next of kin.
Oh, he has a house at 26 Marshall Street, Kensington.
Yeah.
Next of kin, a brother, living at the Priory of St. Albans.
All right, thank you. Have you notified the brother?
No one's been notified yet, sir.
Good, I'll call at his house. There must be some servants there. That Sir Graham was a man of some means was indicated by the comfortably and artistically furnished house he owned. I was met by a middle-aged man dressed in the waistcoat and dark trousers which constitute the uniform of valets and men servants. I'm sorry to be the harbinger of bad news.
Something wrong with Sir Graham?
Yes, I have to tell you that your employer was found drowned. We suspect murder.
Good heavens, sir. Do you mind if I...
Sit down, of course. That's it. Take it easy. Cigarette?
Don't smoke, thank you, sir. When did this happen?
Well, we can't be sure of the exact time when he was attacked. His body was fished out of the Thames less than an hour ago. And by now his brother will be on his way to identify the body.
Attacked, I can't believe it.
Hit on the head with a blunt instrument. So the Thames Sutton police think. Now, had Sir Graham any enemies? Anyone who would want to see him put out of the way?
Oh, no, sir. But of course, there were many who resented his outspoken views on some of the so-called modern art, but to kill him, murder Sir Graham, the idea is preposterous, sir.
You can think of no one who might be a likely suspect?
He used to quarrel violently on matters concerning art, but not as violently as all that. Where is Sir Graham at the moment?
At the Thames Sutton mortuary. And no doubt the body will be removed after he's been formally identified. Do you know anything about Sir Graham's movements? Would he have gone to the museum?
Yes, sir. I know he went to Austerlitz. He goes every day, except Sundays. He had an appointment with the assistant curator at 10 o'clock this morning.
I see. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to go through his effects. There may be something either in his desk or elsewhere that might give me some sort of lead.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't. For 2 solid hours, I searched diligently, but to little avail. There was a mass of correspondence between Sir Graham and art dealers throughout the world, and rather pathetically, a sheet of notepaper was on the blotting pad of his desk. Obviously, the beginnings of an article for some art journal, since he had penned the words...
One assumes that the readers of this journal, it has done so much to safeguard the reputation of established living painters, are only too well aware of the scandalous fashion of what they are pleased to call cleaning the old masters. Cleaning, indeed. One might as well suggest...
What the late Sir Graham was going to use as a simile, we shall never know, for there it ended. I wasn't quite sure what I was looking for. Perhaps some secret liaison with a lady, some incident in his past resulting in possible blackmail, a threatening letter. There were none of these things. It was evident that the gentleman led a full and fruitful life dedicated to the furtherance of the arts, that he was comfortably well off, and that I would have to seek a lead elsewhere. I decided to call on the assistant curator at the Austerley Museum.
I cannot tell you the loss, the irreparable loss this is. Sir Graham's position was a unique one.
When did you see Sir Graham last?
Yesterday morning. We went over some catalogues together.
And then what happened?
He left here at about 12 o'clock.
And you never saw him again?
No, Inspector, I did not.
Did he have any enemies?
Yes, Inspector. Every charlatan, every slick modernist jumping on the bandwagon. This museum was once the townhouse of Sir George and Lady Austerley. You may know that they were one of the world's greatest collectors. When Sir George's widow died, she left the house and its artistic contents to the nation. I have been assisting Sir Graham since the first day the museum opened.
How long ago was that?
25 years.
What happens now? Will the trustees appoint you as a director?
I was given the assurance that in the event of Sir Graham retiring
Or dying.
He was a man in his 70s, you know, Inspector. I would be appointed director.
I see. Now, you say Sir Graham left here at 12 o'clock. Did he tell you where he was going?
No, he did not.
Did he seem worried about anything?
Well, yes. Perhaps worried is the wrong word. He seemed to be in a state of smoldering fury.
Oh?
What about? Oh, I really don't know. I refrain from asking him. I think it had something to do with his property at Alveston. It's a small house. An old couple are living in it, and the town council proposed demolishing the place. They're building a byroad through it. He certainly did seem agitated when he received the letter. In fact, he drove over to Alveston last Thursday. I noticed he was upset about something on Friday morning. Sir Graham was not the sort of man to invite confidences. He mentioned the letter from the town council in order to explain his absence from the museum. He was most meticulous, you know.
And you've no idea where he went when he left the museum yesterday afternoon?
None, Inspector.
What would he be doing in the Thames Valley?
Oh, now I come to think of it, we did have a rather peculiar conversation just before he left. He did mention the Thames.
Oh? Will you please try and remember every word that was passed between you? I assume he came into your office to tell you he was leaving?
Yes, he did precisely that.
Ah, my nephews. I see you have the new catalogue from Hendrix of Amsterdam.
Yes, sir. They're offering the new Van Hulk.
I'm afraid that our grant of £10,000 a year for purchases wouldn't go very far. I've come in to tell you that I'm off. I have a strange sort of assignation. Promised to be there within the hour or so. Did you read my article this morning on the Tate Gallery's cleaning of the Holbein?
Yes, sir, I did. I thought it was magnificent.
Sure, vandalism. Cleaning the patina of an artistic work is one thing. Now it would appear to be substitution. Oh, well, why the Thames? Perhaps the witches need purifying. I'm off. Goodbye, Lewis.
Goodbye, sir.
And that's the last you heard of him? What did he mean by all that?
I am as much in the dark as you, Inspector. He frequently made obtuse references to the renovating of the old masters, and I quite agree with him. And do you know the National Gallery have renovated Van Dyck's Last Battle?
No, I didn't. The Thames, he said. A day later, he's fished out of the river. You say he drove over to Alverston. Did he drive his own car?
No. Whenever he went on a long journey requiring a car, he hired one from the Greater London Car Service Limited.
Well, thank you, Mr. Levis. I won't keep you any longer. If you do remember anything that might be of use to us in tracing the killer, we would be grateful. Back at Scotland Yard, I telephoned the car hire people. Yes, they drove a gentleman to Alverston on the day in question, but more important still, one of their drivers called outside the Austerlitz Museum for Sir Graham and transported him to Loxbridge. Now we were getting somewhere.
So at the moment, sir, there's only one suspect. This Mr. Levis probably got fed up waiting for Sir Graham to die to become a director, finds out where his boss is going, follows him, bashes him on the head and throws him in the river.
Could be. On the other hand, operations have found out that Sir Graham left his house, the entire contents, and £500 a year to his manservant, Breens. There's an incentive, if you like. Could be someone we don't know. Some maniac regarding Sir Graham as a reactionary halting the march of progress. There are plenty of nuts in the world. But why did he go to the Thames? To Loxbridge? That... Hello? Oh, he is good. Chime in. The driver who took him to Loxbridge is here. Perhaps he'll be able to tell us.
Go through, please.
Oh, thank you.
Do come on in. Sit down, won't you? You're Mr. Smart.
Yes, that's right.
We're hoping you can help us concerning the death of Sir Graham Partridge. You did read this afternoon's papers.
Yes, gave me quite a turn, I can tell you. Real gent he was. Always a pleasure to have him as a passenger.
Oh, you've driven Sir Graham before?
Oh, yes, sir. I always go for him. If I wasn't doing anything, that is. He likes to have me. He says I wasn't a speed maniac.
Well, what happened when you drove Sir Graham to Loxbridge? Where did you take him exactly?
Well, that's just it. Shook me in a way. We gets to the crossroad just half a mile before the village.
Pull up here, driver, will you?
Right, sir.
Here, this is paid for your lunch. You can return to London now.
But how are you going to get back, sir? I mean, you've got another half a mile to Loxbridge.
I know. It would appear that shame or conspiracy is second nature to man. However, he promises to ensure that I will receive adequate transport when I wish to return to London.
Are you sure, sir? I don't mind waiting as long as you like.
No, it's his idea, not mine. Thank you, and good day to you.
He got out of the car and went into the woods. It's a short cut to the village. Well, that's all I know.
Was there anyone about?
Not a soul, sir. You see, it's off the main road.
I do see. Now, what about your trip to Alverston? You drove him there on Thursday.
Yes, sir. He has a house there called Pine Lodge.
And did you bring him back?
Yes, sir. Drove him straight to his house.
Huh. Well, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you very much, Mr. Smart. I wonder if Pine Lodge can help us. I'll go over and see.
Oh, Sir Graham Reed last Thursday. Oh, just thought this would happen to him. He came to say how sorry he was about this lodge being pulled down and make way for a road. Well, I told him not to worry. We managed to get a job at Alverston House. In fact, he went there to look at some pictures.
He did he? Tell me what happened.
Well, when I told him that Mrs. Meadows had offered me a job as gardener at the cottage, Sir Graham, he said, I'd heard she moved into Alverston with her Jorgens.
Jorgens?
Oh, yes, sir. He's a French painter, sir. What went native? Sir Graham told me about it.
You mean Gauguin? All right. And then what happened?
Well, when we're at the...
What?
Well, come and look, Inspector. Alverston House is going up in flames.
Jobley and I rushed over to the scene of the fire.
Stay back there! Stay back!
Fire blaze! Yes, we'll never save it. Bad luck. This Mrs. Meadows was going to have the entire place done up.
Where is the lady?
Oh, she didn't live here, sir. She was waiting until the place had been done up before she moved in.
I understand it was a valuable collection of paintings.
So they say in the village. They'll be burned to a cinder by this time.
There was little I could do at the fire. Yet the dramatic scene the flames seeming to reach for the sky, shooting sparks and crackling wood, creating a sort of symphony of destruction, helped me to clarify my thoughts. A pattern was clearly emerging. We went back to the lodge where I resumed my questioning of Jobley.
Leroy, I'm talking about a new job that seems to have gone up in smoke in more ways than one.
Oh, I don't know. It's more than likely that the owner will rebuild. Tell me something, Mr. Jobley. You said that Sir Graham Partridge went to look at some pictures.
That's right, sir, over at Alverson House. When I told the old gentleman that me and my missus was fixed up with a lady was taking over the house, he said, that's a relief.
That's a relief. Had you not found alternative accommodation, Jobley, I would have been resisted every move the road planners would make until they found you alternative accommodation. Still, I'm sorry to see the cottage being pulled down. In my youth, this was the lodge to Alverston House, and where all those shops are were farms and fields. Oh, times have changed.
I'm old enough to remember that, sir. Still, it'll be nice to have the house occupied again. It's been empty for 10 years. I thought they were going to pull it down.
I read that this Mrs. Meadows has moved into the house with her Gauguins. Perhaps I ought to pay a call. I would love to see them. They are two priceless paintings.
Oh, she's not there, sir. She's in London. As a matter of fact, Look, sir, I've got to go over to the house. I've got the key. Why don't you come with me? Madam's expected back later this afternoon. I'm sure she'd like to show you the paintings. Well, we went over to the house. I thought I'd get the place ready for Mrs. Meadows.
Oh, no wonder the lady wishes the house restored before she moves in. Well, I suppose the paintings will be through there.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Here they are.
Oh, what is this?
Ah, Jobley. With the door open, I thought you'd be here. Oh, I didn't expect visitors.
Well, I thought you wouldn't mind, ma'am. This gentleman's very interested in paintings. Sir Graham Partridge.
Partridge?
I hope you do not regard this as an intrusion, madam. But you see, I was in the district and, well, Jobley is my tenant at the lodge. I'd heard of your Gauguins, of course. You took the liberty
Oh,
of...
please don't apologize. As you can see, I've had them cleaned. A great improvement, don't you think?
Madam, you cannot improve on the originals. Well, thank you. I have a long journey back to London and the car is waiting.
We turned on his heels and walked out. We've never seen the old gentleman so upset. We never saw him again.
He was upset, was he? Who is responsible for the sale of the house?
Oh, Mr. Potter. He's the house agent. He's just around the corner.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Jobley. Your information is invaluable. I hope Mr. Potter proves equally fruitful.
Mrs. Meadows was about to embark on alterations. Now this fire takes place.
I see. Do you think she'll be out of pocket because of this fire?
Yes, I do. She paid £8,000 for the house. The furniture must have been worth at least 600 more.
But what about the paintings?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't know anything about that. Assume they'll be covered by her own insurance brokers.
Now, have you Mrs. Meadows' present address?
Oh, yes, indeed. She's still living in her town flat, waiting for Alverston House to be made ready. What an awful thing this fire is. I wonder what caused it. Oh, you want an address, of course. It's Carlton Towers, number 26 off Sloane Square.
The fire must be a great shock to you, Mrs. Meadows.
Oh, I don't mind the house so much. It was going to be completely changed anyway. But those precious Gauguins...
The fire chief tells me that everything was reduced to rubble.
Yes, I'm still stunned.
There were three Gauguins, were there not? They must have been worth a lot of money.
No, it isn't the money. They were fully insured.
Yes, ma'am, I had a word with the insurance company to the tune of £182,000.
Do you know that when my late husband's father bought those Gauguins, he got them for less than £100 each.
Fantastic. And the insurance company also says that had they known that you were moving the paintings from this flat to Alverston, they would have insisted on some special clause.
What clause? I've gone into the insurance thoroughly. The phrases that the owner takes every responsible precaution. That I've done. They're not trying to wrangle out of it, are they?
No, no. They told me that they will have to meet the claim.
Ah.
Tell me, Mrs. Meadows, who cleaned those paintings for you?
What? What do you mean?
Oh, surely, ma'am, you had those paintings restored, I believe is the word. A highly technical job. Which art gallery did it for you?
It wasn't a gallery. A well-known picture restorer.
Oh, may I ask his name?
Why? Do you think there was something wrong with the fire?
Ma'am, that's not my department. Murder is. I'm investigating the death of Sir Graham Partridge. You met him, I believe.
Did he tell you I'd had them cleaned? Why have you really come here?
The man was rendered unconscious and thrown into the Thames. It is my duty to question all those who may throw some light on the matter.
Light? Well, what made you think
of that? At the moment, I'm not thinking at all, ma'am. I'm like a sponge, absorbing all I can. Somehow, I think that your fire, the paintings, and this man's death are all linked together. Thank you, ma'am. I won't bother you any more for the moment.
Do you think she knows something about the murder, sir?
Not sure, Jackson. But if my guess is right, we'll soon know. Okay, here we are. Hello, Jenkins. Anything come through yet? Has she tried to telephone?
Not yet, sir.
Well, keep listening. If she doesn't try to communicate with somebody soon, we've done Mrs. Meadows an injustice.
Well, our telephone's dialing now, sir.
Ah.
I'm through.
Good to me. Less than half a mile from Mrs. Meadows' flat was this mobile van belonging to our communications division of New Scotland Yard. It could well be that Mrs. Meadows herself was so ignorant of matters concerning the visual arts that she was innocent of any criminal conspiracy. On the other hand, her telephone was endeavoring to communicate with someone. Who was this someone? We were soon to learn.
Hello, Art Restorations Limited speaking.
Oh, Victor, this is Susan. Something terrible has happened.
Terrible? What do you mean?
A detective from Scotland Yard has just been here. He's been asking all sorts of questions.
Questions? What questions?
Oh, about the fire, about the paintings, about Partridge's death.
Partridge? What did you tell him? Susan, what have you said?
Nothing, darling, nothing, I promise you. It's all right. He thinks the paintings were clean, but you'd better get them out of the studio quickly.
Scotland Yard, that's bad. Listen, get the car and drive to the studios as soon as you can. We've got to get these paintings out of the country quick. But don't waste time. They'll trace you to me in a matter of hours.
That's enough. Jackson.
Yes, sir?
Get through to operations. Wherever Art Restorations Limited is, I want the place surrounded at once. Hey, you. You in direct contact with Central?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jackson, do your stuff.
Right, sir.
An old insurance trick, substituting a masterpiece worth untold thousands with a fake, and then destroying the fake in a fire. Sad that there are connoisseurs and collectors who will pay anything for such treasures with no questions asked. I knew that the insurance company would bless us for saving them nearly £200,000. Whether we recovered the originals or not, arson could be proved. But could I prove murder?
Well, Jackson, you've got the place under observation from every corner, sir. Mrs. Meadows has just gone in. Oh, look, sir. There she comes now. They're carrying something.
Come on with me. Mr. Victor Denwood.
Yes, I
can't. I'll take possession of those, if you don't mind.
How dare you? This is my property.
Victor Denwood, Susan Meadows, I'm arresting you both on suspicion of having murdered one Graham Partridge.
Listen to me, Inspector. I had nothing to do with the killing. I swear I didn't. When I told Victor that Sir Graham saw the fakes, he decided to get him out of the way before... Well, before he could inform
us. You lying stuck. It was your idea, getting him out of the way. Who phoned to make an appointment to meet at Loxbridge Woods? You got him there. I never met him.
And so they went on, accusing each other. It all came out of the trial, how Mrs. Meadows struck up a friendship with Victor Denwood after her husband's death. How they conceived a plan of buying a derelict house and burning it down after substituting the old masters with some fakes. It was Mrs. Meadows who phoned Sir Graham, saying that she would like to discuss the question of the paintings with him, as she felt she had been deceived. Once he got to the rendezvous, her boyfriend hit him on the head and tipped him into the river. You will have observed, quite early in my investigation, I was convinced that there was a close link between Alverston and Sir Graham's murder. He himself supplied the clue. Do you remember what it was? What was it that supplied the link between the death of Sir Graham and the paintings? It was this. If you remember, Bernard Levis, Sir Graham's assistant at the museum, related this conversation. Sir Graham asked the curator...
Did you read this morning my article on the Tate Gallery's cleaning of the Holbein?
Yes, sir, I did. I thought it was magnificent.
Sheer vandalism. Cleaning the patina off an artistic work is one thing. Now it would appear to be substitution. But why the Thames? Perhaps the witches need purifying.
There it was. A clear hint that the old gentleman was concerned not only with the cleaning of old masters, but of substitution. There was also the distinct hint that more than one person was involved. So another case was tied up, and the moral of this story, should picture fakers upset your liver, never, but never go near a river.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet Cheese Twists. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.